January 18th, 1977, St. Petersburg, Florida. I'll be interviewing Blind Johnny Brown with Pete Gallagher, a reporter from the St. Petersburg Times. Peggy Bulger.
Another member of the Neighborly Center, Rosa.
When you yelled me, I think that when you put that on me, you gave, but I'm going to see.
Oh.
Oh, no, I asked too long. I'm kind of sitting here now, it's 4 years
old. How old are you?
I'm 84.
That's right.
You were born in Redick?
Huh?
Redick?
Redick, Florida.
What's your last name?
My last name is Williams, but I was a Turner baby. I ain't saying nothing about me, though.
Do you still have people up there?
I reckon I do.
She was just in Redick the other day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just
all the old settlements. I always went back.
Some of these things before. You know, she's trying to get some research, because nobody's done any history about music before, you know. She's trying to get this together for the state research. And just telling us some things about the music and about
how did you start playing and singing?
And so this when I got she got married, then he took my mom and her first she had to marry her. And of course, when I got here, the children lived in America. So then that left me. But when she moved to Oak Town, that's where he was.
How about on the couch over here next to Rosa? You'd probably be more comfortable, don't you think?
Well, thank you. How have you been getting along?
Okay.
Johnny, there's a lady here, Miss Bulger, Peggy Bulger, which is right here.
I'm glad to meet you today. I've heard so much about you from Pete.
She's a art coordinator, and she would like to talk with you about your work and maybe do a little taping. Are you willing to do this?
I'd be happy to do it.
Oh, that's great.
Now, I'm going to put your coffee right over here.
This in the middle here, maybe.
I know you forgot your fingerprints and everything else, didn't you, Johnny?
No, I have.
Oh, you got them. That's great.
You forgot your, I know you forgot your
fingerprints.
We've
got.
I didn't come to pay for that. I don't know how, but I
She's telling us about how she started
singing in the early days. I want to finish that story, too.
Yeah, I was born in the anybody could teach me that. My teacher told me, don't let anybody tamper with it. Because when I was in sight, I felt like a person in the Because I'd be all different. But I couldn't practice. I'd just go through it. And so, my aunt seemed to think that I had so much talent. I didn't need to be taught. I had it, you know. But that's bad. That's bad for the child, and it's bad for the parents, too. But she didn't know because she wasn't taught, you know. Nothing but hard work. So she taught me how to do hard work. So every time when I started the school, every year, I don't care who we went up against, it was singing, reciting, or drilling, I had it. And so she didn't think I needed no training for that because I had it. So she, when you got, she and my uncle, they were smart and they needed good money. And they say, I bought a nice home and everything. But I started working when I was 5 years old. I had to have that carpet and stuff on that old cook. She'd fix it, magic, and sit it on that table. And I got to get up in the morning, make that fire. I better have it ready when she come in and cook the meat and stuff. You know, I had to have the coffee in which to cook.
When you're 5?
Yeah. She put it on, she'd magic. All I had to put it on the stove. Mm. And you know, it was the old time stove where you make up the fire. So when I got to be a big girl, the Emerson home had a school in Ocala. And they trained colored girls. It was for colored people. And they dunked you everything. And I won 4 scholarships from that school for different terms, and she never would let me take it. She said because I had plenty of talent and I didn't need it. But she was going to get out of me what she's putting in me then. And she's going to learn me hard work. Because when I got grown, if I didn't, wasn't able to make it to somewhere grown, I'd know how to go get a job, see, because there's too many women running around in the street doing anything to be enough to do, couldn't work.
Yeah.
But that was all right. I didn't mind that. But after I got older, it hurt me. I had 2 cousins. One was my first cousin. And we were just like twins. She was 2 years older than me, like in one day she's going to be 2 years older than I. Well, she sang, but she sang down altar. And she did wasn't anything on reciting or anything else. Only time we'd make a win was when she and I sang a duet together. Well, her mother was kind of jealous of me and my mother anyway, because I had more talent than her, but we were just stuck together like we was twins. And they couldn't make her do nothing to me. And they couldn't make me do nothing to her. You know what I mean? Against me. We growed up that way. But at the same time, she gave her music. And then she gave another cousin of hers music. Paid for it herself. My uncle didn't know this. But I knew it. So I just said, well, when I get grown, I'm going to make my own music. I'm going to take folk and take music, and I'm going to take everything I want to do. I'm going to do it professionally. That alone. So finally, I went to, I went away from home after I got, I married at 14. But I didn't stay married long because I didn't like that. So I went and got me a job.
Did you have any children?
No. I tell you how I got the job. A lady friend of hers was working at the hotel. And she was a maid. And I know I was 14, I could clean up anybody's house and make up beds and anything because she taught me. I had to do it right or else. So anyway,
I went to this hotel to wait in this lady's place. And so the lady that was head of running the hotel said, this child can't do this work. It's too heavy for her. She said, you let her work today. Just let her work. And tell her what to do, what room. You just care for the room with her and see. I said, because I've got to take a vacation. She's going home to see her people for a while. So I worked. And she got through, she picked up my room. She said, who taught you? I said, my auntie. She said, where did she learn? I said, well, we used to live in Cedar Keys, and my auntie was working for people at a hotel. And she just learned me how to do everything at home. I knew how to do this. I said, for a while, I went there. I said, because she learned me at home. And she said, well, you're better than anybody I got out on this floor, in any of these floors. Yes, you can take the job. So I did. I worked till she come back. My auntie didn't worry a bit. So one day, she said, now when you go back to your work, see if I wrote it to you. I said, all right. So when she come back, she said she the best she got there. See, when she get a little older, they going to hire her at that minute. So when I got a little older, I can't remember where I went the first time. But anyway, oh, I know now. I went to Orchard Court. And when I got there, I worked Orchard, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I worked there. I went to work in with a man that run the tailor shop, butchering tailor. He taking it up professionally. That's doing mending, putting in lines in some coats and, you know, everything. Pressing job. You take, did all that and mending and everything. Well, I learned all that. And then while I was there was a troop being getting up. But it was not this thing I see the people do now. It was done more on dramatic work. And I don't know why I did it, but he said to me, he said, well, you sing around here all the time? And said, they're trying to get up a little troop. Say, you want to be in it? I said, I don't know. They sing. I said, all right, I went and tried out. I won. So they take me for legionnaire.
Did the group have a name?
Oh, yes.
What did they call it?
It was called Sunflowers.
Florida
Sunflower. You know, they had the Florida Blossom, too, but long before that. But I bet not see nothing that I wanted to. I didn't tell you the other story that happened to me, but I'll tell you later, maybe. And so anyway, we did good, and I made good. And but the dramatic is not like this thing I see these people doing, getting naked and all that kind of stuff. If you do anything, if we did anything, you know, to shake yourself and all that, you had to do nice dancing. And so I done well in everything they asked me to do. But my singing, they just learned me the song. And after they learned me the song, then I was gone. But I don't know nothing about no music then. But I still had in my mind, as soon as I get where I can, I'm going to take music. And so, I did good there. But once I got to where they went to kind of slow paying you your money, because we had one man there was a kind of schemer. So I just threw my trunk off the car and went on home. So that settled me for a while. Then I was just working around. And so finally I went to Atlantic Beach, Florida. There's a hotel there. That was just what I wanted. So I had married then. I married a real fine man. His name was His name was Jethro Barry Williams. And he was here Beethoven. First he went as a floor walker, and then next year was here for it. He got along very nice, and I started to run in a laundry. I done fine with that. Finally, they wanted to nurse for three children. One of the children was born up ahead of time, and it was Hawk Hart was oldest, and Dick, that was the original, he was the second one, and he come here too soon. And the other one was George, he was a baby, and I had them three. I think Hawk Hart was about four or something like that, but anyhow, Dick was two and something. And George was 6 months.
You were still singing then?
Oh no, I was working. No, I didn't work. Let nothing. But I didn't. If I wasn't doing this, I was doing that. I knew how to work. I tell you, she said she's gonna learn me hard work. And I love children, always did. I just used to take all the neighbors' children and keep them while they go to work at my mother's when I sang. So that was right in my lap. So finally, she had an agent to come from New York. Nurses in one of the hotels up there. And I didn't know that lady was watching me, but she just watched me around, you know. So one day she said to me, "Sir Rosa," I said, "Yes." "Said, would you want to be a governess?" I said, "Yes." At that time, no colored people, I'm being fair with you, no colored people had no chance to be a governess down here. You know, no, you wouldn't take you unless more give you a chance. And so I said, "Yes." She said, "Well, you'll be the first governess in Florida, but I can't give you a diploma." I said, "Well, what you gonna do?" She said, "If you learn the things that I'm teaching you, I'll give you a write-up, and I'll tell you what to do after." So she did, and I learned it. So when she got ready to go back, she said, "Now, I'm gonna give you this. Don't go in no post-settlement. Always go where you hear of each settlement, and show them this, and tell them if you work one day and don't please them, you give them that day. But if you please them, pay you this." I said, "All right, that just set me fine." So I worked there until something happened. I'll tell you too. Dick wouldn't, he just did, I couldn't go to my house and go to bed until I put him to bed and he'd go to sleep. So this day, I was helping Harcourt. No, she was undressing Harcourt and I was undressing Dick. But I went to get something. No, that's my head of that. While I was dressing him and put him to bed, I went out of the room and he thought, I guess, I was going home, and he went to crying. And she says, "What are you crying for? You little bit of baby, you know?" Like that, he was just about 2 years in hand. And he just kept crying. She picked that baby up, I never told this to nobody, and threw him to me and I called him. And I said to her, I said, "What did you do that for?" She said to me she was going to show me her red hair. I said, "I'm going to show you my black hair." And I guess she thought I was a fool. So anyway, I stayed there and put Dick to bed. Put them all to bed. And I waited till he go to sleep. And then he went to sleep. I said, "I won't be back tomorrow." She says, "Why?" I said, "'Cause if I hadn't caught that child, he'd have fell on that full live bush's head over me and be dead. He would put on me. But there was a lady in there that I'd been working for all along, and she heard all this, that visit was visiting her. And so she said, 'Well, if you don't come back, I won't pay you.' I said, 'I'm not worried about my pay.' I said, 'Well, you didn't hire me.' I said, 'The hotel hired me, and I get my money from the office, and that's up to you.' And I walked on out. So next in the morning, I didn't go back. So after that, it hurt me so till I got sick. So during the time I was kind of getting over it, you know. I don't know, my mind said to me, he said, go on down to the, where we sit on the, where the pavilion, where the trains come in. It wasn't under the hotel in that, and a few little stores around. So I went out there and all of us sitting on the bench, and he heard my voice, and he came out, boy, boy, boy. And I looked, he was going across the wrong way. The train was coming, he going across the railroad. And I said, Dick, Dick, but he wouldn't turn back. He still seemed like he thought my voice was over there. I said, Lord, Lord, what must I do? It looked like someone said to me, go catch him and keep a running. And I could run like a race runner, so I just jumped. I forgot pain or anything. I ain't felt bad. I just jumped up and went to running, and I picked him up and kept going across. And they run, the train run is first from here, over across the other street there, from where we were standing, where I picked him up. And they know they had killed us. Mm. But I was on the outside hollering, we're safe, we're safe, we're safe, running on down where they'd stopped. And the train just slided in. So the man was looking, the conductor was looking for me, the engineer was looking for me. The engineer said, I know I got him, I know I hit him, I just know it. And I was laughing at him. I said, we safe, we safe. He turned around and looked, he said, oh my God, how did you get across here? I said, I just kept running. He said, what do you want me to do for you today? I said, nothing. He said, anywhere you want to go, I'll take you. I said, no, I don't want to go anywhere. I want to go again and tell his mama he's still living.
Oh.
And so he told me, he said, all right, come across. And so I went across. When I went across, I found her and my husband coming. He's a person, anything woman, he'd do like this. Uh-huh. And she was just, they had other ladies, and she's going on. And so she said, somebody said, oh, somebody told my, your husband, you and Dick got killed. I said, not yet. And so when we met them, she said, oh, I wouldn't have done that for nothing. I wouldn't have done that for nothing. I said, sure, to how much you care about it. And she had fainted, but she's coming too. So my husband and me was all upset too. But anyhow, we were safe. But
how
I
old
never,
were you then? Hmm? How old were you now? I mean, like when you were
I'm
doing this, yeah.
Well, I was about between 19 and 18 then, somewhere along the way.
This is already when you were up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is my first chance to kind of strut my stuff.
Yeah.
And so she begged me to come back, but I never did. I'm funny. You do me a dirty trick, I don't bother you anymore, because I don't know what you're going to do down the road. I done seen too much of that. Yeah. So, when her husband came, he was in New York, New York. He came to see me. He said, Rosie, please just, what do you want to save in Dick's life? He said, they tell me how it happened. And he said, what, why did you leave? I said, I was sick. I wouldn't tell him what she'd been to that child. But that was his pick, and that was mine. But Hawkwood was hers. So he said, well, I want to pay you. I said, you can't pay me. He says, I'm going to give you $50 anyway. I said, you keep it and put it in the bank for Dick's college when he gets older. I suppose I know he's going to college, but they're well to keep it. And so he said, you sure? He went to it. I said, no, I don't want it. I got what I wanted. He said, well, what did you want? I said, Dick's life. And I got it. He said, well, you reach all I was saying. If you ever need me, let me know. If you ever want to come back, let me know. I said, all right. But I believe somebody told him what happened, because Miss Edith told him in the office. So I went to her and they called me. They paid me at the office. She didn't want to pay it. He said, you got to pay it. Say, I hired her. And we paid her. There's nothing you can do about it. So that was okay. Then I used to take care of the children. This is long. Then I take care of the children that come in on the weekends. That's the place where the members came in on the weekend. And I don't know what come to me to range the children out on the beach with the little ones that was in the carriage and take the little ones running around. I said, that's your baby. And that's your baby. And the one that they like picked up. And I kept all those children, so I got that money just to see them. And lots of tips from the rest of them when they go. So that went on all right. And so then I went back. I can't go for it. But anyway, then that night meeting, he kept telling me about, but whenever I do, take over. But anyway, I skipped from that. He died. After he left there, he died in St. Augustine. He went there, and that's where he was head reader and there. So anyway, when he died, he told me next week this time, when he comes home at 6:30, I'll leave you at 2:30. And you know, the next night that time he did, he got up at 1 o'clock and told me that the kiss me goodbye to do it. He was gone. But my whole mind was for me to go and take over somewhere. So I had a chance to go north. I'm skipping a lot. And when I did go, I went to Toledo, Ohio. And the first thing I did, I got a job. I had a job when I got there, because another lady had looked after that for me. She was kin to my aunt, and kin to me, but anyhow, in the family, I called it. And I worked for Miss E.R. Beaches. She was a Well, that was in the church. And I was happy. She mean, I went through a week, I worked 1 week. And I got $8 for that week. And the next week she called me and said, Rose, I want you to be a housekeeper. And she had a cook. I coached the cook. She asked the bed because that was over everything.
So you went up to Toledo to work, not to sing?
No, I didn't enter to work. That's okay. When I went to work.
Yeah.
That's what they thought. But I went up there to start singing. And so I looked in the paper and I found the different names of the different colleges there. And I picked out the best one, American Conservatory of Music, Professor Dodds. And I called him up and asked him, would he take, did he give lessons? I knew they did, but I just asked. And he said, yes. And I say, are you partial to color? He said, no. He said, but I'll tell you one thing. He says, there's not one colored girl that ever came out here, and her name is Myrtle Darby. And he says, she played with my daughter, saying she finished. And he says, what are you? What is yours? I said, I want to take singing lessons. He said, well, come on out and we'll try it. And I went out there. And he called his wife upstairs, and I first sang the first piece. He said, you know what? He said, we got a girl up here can beat that cat of old pieces. You know, you remember the story of Black Cat?
Uh-huh.
I tried to steal it, but Google told me to. That's the thing, that's the time I laughed. And so anyhow, after he said, she's got 3 notes higher, and Black Cat didn't have no low notes. If you can sing man or woman, and that's it. And I knew it all the time, but I didn't know what I was doing. And so he offered to take me. So I told Miss Beaches, he didn't have the time for me to go. And when it got so cold and the snow was on the ground, I walked out there and signed my check. And that's all. So they said, are you walking out here? Or are you coming on the bus or something? So after that, they got tickets and gave me, so I would have ready to come back and give me a coat to put on. So, but I didn't have sense enough to go in there and tell Miss Beach I need the coat. So